The Hunger Games finale has finally premiered. Take a listen to this trailer.
I've been watching you, and you watching me. My dear Miss Everdeen, make no mistake, the game is coming to its end.
So exciting. Now, I also caught up with Natalie Dormer from Game of Thrones fame. She plays Cressida in The Hunger Games. I caught up with her a couple of weeks ago and I started off the chat asking her what it was like filming those movies.
It was extraordinary. We shot the two movies, Mockingjay 1 and Mockingjay 2, back to back. So it was just a big solid 9 months for us. And it was just incredible to be a part of that family, to be a part of that epic story. And this is the grand finale, and I'm sure it will not disappoint.
Are you a little bit apprehensive that big Hunger Games fans now are holding on with bated breath waiting to see what happens?
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much to there's so much that, you know, has been left for this final movie, you know, the love triangle, which way is Katniss going to go with the two men in her life, and you know, what's going to happen with the Capitol overthrowing Snow. They really saved up the best to last, and we had so much fun shooting all the action sequences. It's huge. It really is massive.
Now, you have to have your head shaved for this part. Now, you've probably been asked this question loads of times, though. If you were shooting this movie back to back for 9 months, what was it like having that undercut all the time? I'd say it felt amazing. I'd be running my head through it all the time.
It was a bit cold. It was a bit cold there. But yeah, no, it was. That's the great thing about my job. You know, you get to do stuff that you would never ordinarily do. And I have to say that, you know, regardless of how drunk I got, I would never come up with the idea of shaving off my head. And so you just get to. I had this funky haircut, and like you said, it was a bit addictive to sort of rub your hand on the side.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that spiky feeling every morning. It was a bit weird and wonderful, but I got used to it. And I really enjoy playing Cressida. You know, she's badass. She looks badass on the screen, and she's a cool chick, cooler than I. So it was fun to actually get to play someone seriously cool.
You know, when you are playing someone, you know, I think you are cool, and we'll get onto that in a little bit in a few minutes, right? But when you are playing someone that's badass, tattoos, shaved head, have you ever had a rebellious period like that in your own life where you did, you know, probably look a little bit more crazy than you'd look now, you know, that sort of way?
Well, no, I mean, I think as rebellious as I got as a teenager was piercing my belly button. But you know, which hurt, by the way. I've never had that kind of like chapter in my life where I went as seriously cool as Cressida. So that's the fun thing about being an actor. You can embody that role, that attitude. And it did kind of change the way I dressed for a bit, because I felt like I could like pull off a more like kind of funky rock chick style for a bit.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun.
I think it looks pretty damn cool, definitely. And I always think about actresses when you are playing a role and you have to have your appearance a different way, whether you're putting on weight or losing weight. Like, if you've got a family event that's happening in within those 9 months, I always kind of think, oh God, like, what happens? Do you put a wig on? Do you just kind of rock it out for that time?
Yeah, I mean, I hid it, you know, quite
you?
A bit. I did the last two Christmases. When I was shooting Hunger Games, I did my Christmas in Dublin because I'm with an Irishman. So I was kind of, you know, standing in Neary's having a pint on Christmas Eve with my beanie on my head. I didn't want to take the hat off. So,
well, it'd be cold anyway if it was Christmas time
It was very cold, and I just sort of hid it under the beanie, and they wanted me to hide it for a while because they didn't want to reveal the look of Cressida. So we kind of got into all this conspiratorial kind of like, let's hide her for as long as we can. And then I did this big reveal at the SAG Awards with this white dress and showed the shaved head, and it was like, oh my God. And it's weird, I look at photos now and I go, it was pretty amazing. I can't believe that I did that every morning. It was an interesting chapter in my life.
I'd say. So obviously you've just said there that you were with an Irishman. And what did you meet around the Tudors time a couple of years back? Back in like,
that's exactly what happens when you spend 2 years in Ireland. You end up with an Irishman.
Can you do a good Irish accent then?
My Irish accent is absolutely appalling.
And try it. Come on.
No, I'm not even going to, because all my friends and family in Ireland will play you, will play this clip back to me again and again and again until I'm red in the face.
Okay.
So I promise that I will do my damnedest to work on it so that hopefully in the next handful of years I can do right by you all.
Do you speak with an Irish in Irish idiom? So it's like, you know, stop giving out to me, because that's a lot of English people say.
Yeah, I do all the Irish idioms. And I do your man and your woman and the hot, and we had to have long debates about it not being a hot press but it being an airing cupboard.
It's a hot press.
It's an airing cupboard. Just saying.
We don't even have cupboards. We have presses. Ah, oh, sure, you know it yourself.
I never understood. I was like, explain that to me. You have a printing press, or it's a verb to press something. Like, why did this word become a cupboard? I don't understand. And anyway, yeah. So there was a bit of a translation. There were some translation issues at the beginning of the relationship, but we've worked through them. We're the personification of the Anglo-Irish agreement.
I love it. Very good. Well done. So getting back to the Hunger Games, as I was just saying, like, the cast is unbelievable. A who's who of nearly everybody, and so many people that have such accolades in their acting histories and careers. So when you're working for 9 months with such great actors, and you know, with yourself with Game of Thrones and other stuff that you've done as well, is there ever a time where you can just sit and learn from each other?
Oh yeah, I mean, when you're sitting on a set and you've got Woody Harrelson in front of you, Julianne Moore, Stanley Tucci, Elizabeth Banks, I mean, you know, Philip Seymour Hoffman, I mean, you just shut up and you watch, basically.
Yeah.
To be a part of that ensemble was an extraordinary moment, and to have to witness such versatile veteran actors still reasonably early on in my career like that is just a gift. You just shut up and you watch and learn.
That's amazing. I'd say it's such an experience. And then, obviously, you said there at Christmas time you're outside Neary's in Dublin and you've got your hat on, hiding your shaved head for the Hunger Games. Do people come up to you and be like, well, oh my God, what are you doing here? You're from Game of Thrones. What's going on? Like, do you get that a lot?
Well, sure, you know what the Irish are like. They don't, like, they're kind of like, they don't come over in the same way, because, you know, it's really interesting, the different cultures when you travel around the world. Like, you go to Spain and you can barely walk down the road because, like, all the Spanish fans just want to talk and, like, grab hold of you. And then sometimes you'd get a sideways glance and everything. But it's funny, over in Ireland, because it's just like the British, they like just to keep themselves to themselves more, and they'll just notice you and, like, maybe nod at you, but there won't be that much recognition. But it's really interesting, because over the years I've been surprised as the show of Game of Thrones has gotten bigger and stronger, and obviously as I've done more of a body of work, people increasingly come over to me wherever I am, actually, Britain or Ireland now, because Ireland is like, Dublin is like a second home. And it just goes to show how both those projects have really grown in audience numbers. And people, I think people just must be touched by the stories in some way. You know, it really seems to communicate with people. And it's so great when you get the young'uns, you know, when you get the teenagers or the younger adults coming over to you who are maybe read the books of either of those projects, and they just want to ask you those geeky questions.
Yeah.
They're so knowledgeable and they're so enthusiastic, and they just want to, you know, pick your brain about something. And I really love that. So that's happening quite a lot at the moment, which is great.
Oh, and one question, please. Have you seen this on the website called The Toast, going, what would happen if you were Natalie Dormer's girlfriend? Have you seen this?
No.
This is,
no,
right, this is a website called The Toast that has, if you were Natalie Dormer's girlfriend. If Natalie Dormer were your girlfriend, you'd meet cute at an academic lecture open to the public, when approached you afterwards and compliment you on the question you raised in the post-lecture. If Natalie Dormer were your girlfriend, she would take you on dates to the V&A. If Natalie Dormer were your girlfriend, the two of you would spend sunny summer days stretched out in grass in Hyde Park with a picnic basket full of fruit and the makings of a hearty ploughman's lunch. If Natalie Dormer were your girlfriend, the two of you would frequently go to theatre together. You'd both get ice creams during the interval and giggle while messily trading tastes. After the play was over, you'd find the nearest late night cafe to sit and enthuse about the production over terrible cheap coffees in chipped cups. This is serious. This is there. This is Natalie.
Who is this person? I sound like I need to go on this date.
Well,
it sounds like a great date.
But is this you? Is this what you would be like as a girlfriend?
Oh my God, this is hilarious.
Yeah, I found this morning. If Natalie Dormer were your girlfriend, you would sit at her feet in the front of the fireplace on evenings when the two of you stayed in, dressed down in comfy clothes and nursing a pot of tea. She'd stroke
like
your hair.
No, that would be a glass of red wine.
Would it?
Sitting in front of a fire. Yeah.
She'd stroke your hair while you quietly read different books, occasionally reading aloud choice passages to each other or mocking anything that was clearly biased scholarship. I love this.
They're being very complimentary about what they think is my intellectual academic
abilities. Well, they think
I'm very grateful.
They're holding you in high esteem there. It's called The Toast. We'll send on the link to you guys. It was written on the 7th of April 2015. If Natalie Dormer was your girlfriend. Natalie, thank you so much for speaking to me today. Thank you so much. And we cannot wait to see The Hunger Games. That was Natalie Dormer there. I caught up with her a couple of weeks ago. The premiere of the movie happened in London last night, Mockingjay Part 2. What a sound bird! Loved talking to her. And if you just look on our websites today as well, she just looks resplendent at the premieres last night. Coming up,